Buenas.
Come on, vocals. And welcome back to Film Posers. Four Boricuas ranting, raving, and reviewing cinema. Today, we are sharing with you our most anticipated films of 2023, including those that have already come out, along with our brief thoughts. For those of you who don't know, hi. I'm Juan Mojica, and I'm joined by my lovely co-hosts, Josie Melendez, Ana Sofia Cintrón Mediavilla, and Gabriela Burgos.
Saludis.
Let's go.
Olis.
So listen, you're probably wondering, it's April. How are we doing in anticipated films of the year now? Well, here is the reason. There has been such great cinema, and every time we as posers make our lists in December, we always find so many other films that come out afterwards that our lists just continuously change, and we keep adding, and it becomes a whole mess. Because you know what? There's still so much great cinema coming. The summer movie season is on its way, and there are sure to be quite a lot of bangers.
Preach.
And if you're gonna get a great guide to the rest of 2023, you're in the proper hands. I mean, come on, you got wind chimes in the background. That is the key to good vibes. And that's what we bring here at Film Posers. Taste and great vibes.
Good vibes only.
Also, it's the fact that looking at the list, most of the films that we're anticipating still haven't come out. So it's as good a time as any.
Which is a great transition to start us off. Let's start off with the films that have already come out in 2023. Since I'm the host, it's obvious which one I'm going to start with. You know me. You know which film I've been waiting for all year. It came out in March. It's Scream 6, the future 2024 Best Picture winner at the Oscars. Let's get into it.
And genuinely the biggest surprise of the year so far.
So far, yeah. It has been one of the best surprises. It was praised by so many. It came out March 10th. It's done really well at the box office. There's the potential for it to be the highest grossing Scream film in the franchise. So exciting. And led by Latinas, Scream has gone Latin, and we love to see it.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was watching it just thinking, wow, we have taken this franchise, and it is now ours. It is ours. Nobody can fight us. It is now Latino. It is now a Latino franchise.
And it's iconic. I mean, we all saw Scream, one of us maybe more than everyone else, but we definitely have all seen Scream. It was definitely a film where we had our expectations, and they delivered. What do you all think of Scream 6? In terms of it being anticipated, do you feel it delivered?
I wasn't anticipating it as much as you.
I don't think anyone was anticipating it as much as me.
I don't think anyone can reach your level. It is like the tiers. You're over here like OP. We were anticipating it as much as you, but we were definitely looking forward to it because of you. And I think I would like to believe that all of us were pretty satisfied.
Aww. Yeah.
I get that buena.
Yeah.
Okay.
If y'all haven't seen it, you still can go to theaters and catch it. You know what? You still got time.
Esperad, do we have una nota discordante?
I want to say I ignored that. I saw her rating.
What was the rating?
What? Anna.
All right, we're going to have to do a real quick intervention here.
Vilio.
I kind of like the last one than this one.
You know, you're the first person that has told me this.
Really?
Genuinely. Yeah. You're the first person that has told me this. I've taken people to see this film, and they've all said they like it better.
There's some stuff from this movie that I really liked. Like the opening scene, Chef's Kiss.
Oh, Chef's Kiss.
Yeah. La escena, the Gail Weathers. Like, she's finally, like, her main character moment. Love it.
When she gets the gun.
Yeah. But I don't know. I felt the reveal. For me, come on, it just wasn't for me.
I mean, listen, as a fan, even I have to admit I was a little underwhelmed with the reveal, but I've also seen it four times now, and at this point, it's great. It grew on me.
It grew on you.
I'm coming to the film's defense because a lot of people keep trashing on the reveal. And I understand it. But at that point, for me, it wasn't about the reveal. Because we don't care about that. We care about Melissa Barrera's arc. That's what we want to see. Full. That's what we're here.
But the thing is, they already did that in one of the Scream movies. It come on, like, the family comes back to make, like, revenge.
Exactly, because it was making fun of the movie. This one, it specified that it was Scream 2.
I just wish there could have been, like, a bigger twist, you know?
Honestly, this is the first Scream movie that surprised me in revealing who was the killer, because there was one that I anticipated and there was one that caught me completely by surprise, and I was like, thank God, finally.
Eso sí, I've been enjoying como que, even though that's my rating, pero I've been enjoying los fan theories for the next como que movie.
You found my burner account? Wait, I have one? Hold on. Breaking news, I apparently have a burner account and I just found out about it. So, even though Ana was the nota discordante, you could probably enjoy Scream 6 for everything it's worth. But you know what else is in theaters that you could probably enjoy? That a lot of people have been talking about. Some people have been a little more on the negative side. It's called 65, and I think there's one poser here who has seen it.
Yes. Oh my God. It was a late night screening. I've been trying to see it since it came out, but things kept coming up. And just that day, I was like, enough. Tonight is my night. I got on the train. I went to the theater. I got me a large cherry Coke. I sat down with my fruit snacks and I said, I am about to have a good ass time. Now, en verdad, la película está media malita. Pero Adam Driver was really great. I think the whole aspect about dinosaurs, if you're looking for a dinosaur thriller that kind of gives you a little bit of a jump, I thought they handled it well. I nearly had 5 heart attacks. The tension was really good. The thing that ruins it is his chemistry with the young actress, because they're supposed to be like a Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey pairing with The Last of Us, but you can't compete with their chemistry. Nobody can have the charisma that Pedro Pascal has, especially when Adam Driver is a much more serious actor when compared to Pedro Pascal. And Pedro also has a sensitivity to him that even though he's being very masculine, he still brings out that nurturing side. It was a little bit difficult with this pairing. But again, if you're looking for the dinosaurs, the thriller aspect, and the adrenaline, then it's worth a try.
I'm not gonna lie, I was interested.
A mí se me olvidó la película hasta que yo se dijo Adam Driver. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's the Adam Driver dino movie.
Yeah. I remember when the trailer came out, a lot of people were like, nothing could have prepared me for the reveal at the end. And it was because at the end there was a T-Rex and people were like, what is this movie?
What is this?
So you're giving me Adam Driver meets the 2010 Predators movie and Jurassic World.
Yeah, there's a scene where he's in a tree and he's trying to get a signal because his device lost a signal and they can't chart their path without it up to the mountain. And he slips from the tree and he falls and you hear a crunch and his, like, se le sale el brazo.
No!
It pops off.
What?
And then dinosaurs are approaching them, about to attack them, and he keeps hitting his shoulder against the tree to, resetear el brazo para que it pops back in. Yo, oh my God! Es bien intensa. And so I feel like people would enjoy it. Esa escena completa just freaks me out. Because the girl, she's a little girl. She doesn't know how to work a gun. And she's trying to like point the gun at the dinosaurs. And the dinosaurs are just staring at her menacingly. Yo, oh my God.
And this is one of your anticipated films, I'm guessing. Because it has the Driver.
I have to support Adam Driver. He gave me The Last Jedi.
I mean, he's a great actor. Let's not lie. Let's tell the truth.
Yeah. And that is 65. If you guys are still wanting to see if this actually sparked your interest, I spoiled it a little, but maybe that helps you get into the theater. If it's playing near you, it's still playing at some theater, so aprovechen, porque creo que lo van a sacar ya mismo.
Oof. They're about to be extinct like the dinosaurs, damn.
Why?
I'll see, that movie is slowly, slowly falling off the face of the earth.
But you know, you mentioned dinosaurs and their return. But we also have the introduction of a story we were quite excited to hear about. When we saw the trailer, we heard the concept. In 2022, we said, this is going to be cinema. And that is none other than the Laugh Riot Cocaine Bear.
Mira, she was mothering.
She's a mother.
Oh my god.
And we have one nota discordante here también. Bienvenida, Gabriela.
Gabriela, tell me you just wanted more bear. Is that it?
I wanted more bear.
Okay, I agree on that.
Because for a movie called Cocaine Bear, there was not a lot of bears or cocaine in it, you know?
But
I did not give a shit about the humans.
But the scenes that the bear.
Those were the bear. Best moments.
Those were the chef's kiss.
Chef's
especially
kid.
The ambulance scene, okay?
Oh,
I feel bad because I saw it with my friend Piper, and she like, after the ambulance scene, she turned to me, she was like, this movie is too gory. And that's how I found out she doesn't like violent movies, by watching Cocaine Bear. So sorry, Piper.
Piper will probably not be able to enjoy Scream 6. Fair warning.
No, she won't. She likes dramas. Anyways, it needed more Cocaine Bear. And also, the humans, they were not interesting at all.
They were disposable.
They were not. Like, we spent so much time with them, especially the two guys that were from, like, the drug lord dude. Mm-hmm. That's Ray Liotta's character. I did not care about them.
Well, here's the thing. I know it's based on a real case. Pablo Escobar actually happened. That was a real... That was the name of the bear.
Yeah.
That was the name of the bear. I'm not kidding. That is the name of the bear. You can look that up. Pablo Escobar was the name they used in the reports. I know they had to focus us in on what actually happened without giving us the full detail. Mm-hmm. And they did incorporate the theme of motherhood, which I actually did enjoy. Mm-hmm. They did have a lot, but to me it still kind of worked. I mean, I saw it with Anna on a Friday night, and we had 5 walkouts, mama. That was wild.
My theater was quiet. No one was laughing.
Oh, everyone else. Oh. I think everyone in ours was laughing, except these two men who were so upset that while they were leaving, they were muttering, and the guy in front of us was literally like, did you not understand what film you were coming to see?
It's Cocaine Bear. What do you expect?
I literally thought he was expecting to see a documentary about what happened to the actual bear.
Oh my god.
It's genuinely what I think happened. He thought it was a documentary. He said, sold. And he came in and it's horror. And he's like, yo no puedo con esto. Literally the accent. I'm not even kidding. Like, very thick Spanish accent. Rushing out of the theater. Because he could not understand the cinematic scope that is Cocaine Bear.
Mm-hmm. Cocaine Bear. No entendía.
The girls that get it. And Anna and I got it. We had a bawling time. We had a great time. Great in the theater. But listen, we're right now divided on Cocaine Bear. I don't think Josie has seen it. Right?
No.
Are you interested in seeing it after this?
Eventually.
Okay, it's gonna be probably on Peacock soon. Figure out which side you're on. Your team Gabriela, team Ana and Juan, let us know. See where you stand with the mother.
I just love that Cocaine Bear is a feminist icon, you know?
Love that.
Obviously. Cocaine Bear for the Oscar, though, as an actress.
She was at the Oscars.
She made her appearance.
Yeah. And poor Cocaine Bear had to deal with Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, our hearts go out to her. Now, Cocaine Bear, we got to move over to, I think, what Gabriela is going to call the cinematic masterpiece of the year. A film I have not seen yet, but I know you've seen it. I know Josie has seen it. It's called John Wick Chapter 4.
Hey.
Take it away.
As Juan said, it is the cinematic event of the year. It is 3 hours of epicness. It is the best John Wick movie. It elevates the action to an entire new level. The stunts are insane. This is the official submission for the Academy to finally have a stunt category. Because how can you see work like this and not recognize it? Beyond me.
I think it's fair to say that this is a film you should see in theaters. And Josie, yes, if I remember correctly, you were out before. I don't think you were interested in John Wick 4 before in 2022.
Here's the thing. I think the man should be in the ground. So that was my hesitation.
But did
I can't really talk about it without spoiling it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll guide you through it.
Anyway, it lives up to the hype. If you were not a fan of the previous installment, like Josie, it redeems itself, right?
Parabellum can die.
I mean, Parabellum had the eye stabbing scene, so I'm kind of with you, girl. Although it had Halle Berry still, so.
Oh yeah, the only redeeming quality of the film
and the doggos.
We have a good doggo in this one too.
John Wick 4 is really good. It just totally gives into like the first shooter, like video game thing that people made fun of it before, and completely owns it. It takes ownership of the joke. It pokes fun at itself, and it is actually pretty funny. Pero con intención, you're not laughing at the film, you're laughing with the film. So I thought they were really smart with this one.
And that's great to know for people who haven't seen it yet.
It's my number one of the year, and it's probably staying there until a certain pink film comes out.
And we're going to get to that. Pretty sure we're going to get to that. But, you know, there's another film that you both rated 5 stars, and I check it out because your Letterboxd reviews are quite great. And when I saw you both log this film, I was so curious. Magic Mike's Last Dance? 5 stars?
It is the feminist movie that we all needed.
Honestamente, it's not a 5-star film, but boy, did it feel like it.
The cinematography in that film. Like, Josie, what did you say? That Soderbergh was going through something? What was it that you said?
That he was probably going through a midlife crisis in a good way.
And you can tell.
Honestly, feel like he just had a very spiritual moment. He was like, this is the movie I have to prove myself with.
Yeah, apparently the 3 films are like very different, because I remember the second one was a lot of fun. The first one was way too serious.
Cada una como que algo diferente. It's like a taste testing kind of thing. But the third one combines a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. It could have been better. Again, it's not a 5-star film, but boy, you're gonna feel like you just walked out of one.
Oh yeah, it is. Ugh.
And if you want a full review of this movie, you should check out our YouTube channel, where Josie and Gabriela sat down and reviewed this film, so you can get a full scope of what you're getting into. Because apparently this is on PVOD already. Damn. So it'd make a great rental. So check out their review before you check out this film.
Anna, you need to watch it. It was one of your anticipated.
I call myself a magic mystery that I haven't even seen it.
I'm with you, bestie.
Same way you haven't seen The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
So, girl, I can't defend you on that one anymore. You're late.
Anna, it's literally been a year.
A year in April, damn.
Yeah.
You don't have to call me out like that.
I'll tell you exactly. Yeah, exactly a year. Anna, you have no excuse.
I can't make up an excuse right now. I literally don't.
And while Anna still has some time to catch up with The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent before the 1-year anniversary, a recent film just came out, and some of the posers here think it's actually worth your time, called Dungeons & Dragons: Honor Amongst Thieves.
It was really good. It was fun. I don't know why some people are like poking holes at it. It works. It is a good and faithful introduction for new and like fans, old and new. The cast is great. It felt like a true ensemble piece. No sé qué más decir. I even cried. So I recommend it. It gets one poser approval.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I saw it in IMAX. The visuals are worth it being in IMAX alone. I thought the humor was great. It has some exciting action scenes. The cast has electric chemistry. It's a charming story. It was a great time. I will say the pacing was a little bit off at one point for me. I think that was my only little critique. But even then, it's still a fun time at the movies. It's the kind of movie you used to go to where it's a big blockbuster that a studio actually took a risk on and it ends up paying off. It's fun. I would definitely recommend it. This is definitely a film I see for Gabriela. Very fantasy, very high fantasy. Chris Pine.
My husband, exactly.
Your husband sings in the movie. That should be enough for run to see it now. We're not kidding you. He sings.
I am now busy next week.
There you go. I'm a seller, people. I was gonna sell you those films.
I was gonna go see John Wick again, but I guess I'll see Dungeons and Dragons.
Double feature, mama. Double feature. And finally, to wrap up our films that have already come out section that we were anticipating, we'll start with the queen that started it all in January. Or shall we say, Meganuary. That's right. Yeah. We're talking about the icon, the legend, the real diva herself, Miss Megan.
She was such an icon, this real.
She really did that.
She's bulletproof. Nothing to lose.
Listen,
she is Titanian.
That scene, because the four of us saw it together, and honestly, thank God we did, because there nothing was better than at the beginning of the film when they say she's made of titanium, and Juan says, "Can you imagine?" She starts singing titanium, and then she actually sings titanium, and all of us losing our minds in that theater. That's a core memory.
That was incredible.
That was beautiful. I don't think I've ever cried laughing that hard. That was beautiful.
It was. I mean, Megan, our woman in STEM, the real triple threat. This was more camp than both Camp Rock films.
Yes. Facts.
So Megan, unfortunately, is not in theaters right now, but it is on Peacock. And they've actually recently released the unrated version.
I want to see it so badly.
Yeah, it's more of the version people were saying they wanted to see if it was rated R. It has some more blood. I don't think it's that much longer. It includes more scenes. But if you want to see more of the gore, it's definitely there on Peacock for you to check it out. See if you like it more. We are getting a sequel in 2025. She's coming back. I don't know how, but she's coming back.
Well, I mean, she left, you know, the end.
She was in the, you know.
She left an impact on all of us. You're right. That's exactly how she comes back. Now that we've discussed the films that we were anticipating that have already come out. Oh boy, we've got a couple to mention that are still to come out. Now, we won't be mentioning release dates for some of these because, unfortunately, you never know with some of these films. They could shift on a dime. They could change release dates out of nowhere. And we want to let you know that they're coming. So we just want you to keep an eye out for those. That way, when they are officially in theaters, you should definitely check them out. So just vibe with our vibes. And we're going to start off with a film I think we all would like to see have a cultural moment. And that is Greta Gerwig's Barbie.
Woo! We have been waiting our entire lives for this. As a fellow Barbie stan, this is my time to shine.
We're going to get Ryan Gosling screaming again.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is for the nice guys, peeps.
Yes.
If you're listening, there's still time for a sequel. We will watch it.
100%. And the things I've read about this film of what could happen, they sound really promising. This is going to film that's probably going to surprise a lot of people. And as we all know, it's going up against Oppenheimer. RIP to the film bros when they have to take the L to Barbie. Let's face it.
Okay, pero la pregunta sería, are you going to see Barbie first or Oppenheimer? That is the question.
I worked it out. Okay, this is my plan. So Oppenheimer is also in my anticipated list of the year, but I've decided that I'm going to start the day with Oppenheimer because there's always a slight probability that I will not like that movie. And I'm going to end the day with Barbie because I'd rather end the day on a high note rather than be sad that I didn't like Oppenheimer. And that's how I end my day.
Here's what I got. The trailer didn't interest me for Oppenheimer. I don't want to see a 3-hour history film. I'm seeing Barbie. And then I'm probably going to use that money I would have used on Oppenheimer and see Barbie again because I'm probably going to enjoy it. Because it's time to support female directors up in here.
The trailer, it como que no te, like, no te, no te, it just doesn't motivate you. Como que, no, I'm
gonna try my best. We just want to see Nolan blow up a bomb.
Exacto. Pero como que,
do we?
It looks intense and stressful, and I do want to see it. It is also one of our anticipated, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to see Barbie when it comes out and Oppenheimer another day.
Yeah.
So Barbie is the winner of the most anticipated between these two.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
And to close this out, let's face it. When those films were being made, if you weren't in the Barbie cast, if you weren't in the Oppenheimer cast, or you weren't in Fast and Furious 10, you were essentially unemployed because more or less those films are all filming at the same time. They were all filming at the same time.
For real. It's like, who, like, if you're not in, you don't got a job.
You were unemployed. Ask Rachel Zegler. She said it. She was unemployed. She said it. Her words, not mine. I heard the interview. I heard it myself.
She said, I'm going to call myself out.
But you know what? I actually appreciate the checks. She said, I want a job. And you know what? Good for her. Good for her in that sense, wanting a job. But we're going to move on to our next pick. Pixar is back in theaters for the summer with this year's release of Elemental. And I believe that this is one of Josie's most anticipated films, even before the year started.
I've been anticipating ever since they announced it, ever since they announced their slate for Disney and Pixar films. So just throwing them both in there at the same time, we're going to get Elemental, and we're also going to get Wish. Wish is going to be voiced by Ariana DeBose, and Chris Pine is going to be the villain. So that is a musical for Wish. See, this is what I'm going to sound like, Afro-Latino, and it's going to be like exploring the story of the star that we see in all the films. So yes, Pero Elemental. Oh my god, it's supposed to be Pixar's first rom-com, and it's a nice little steamy rom-com. Get it, because it's fire and water, so it's gonna be great.
It looked really good. That new trailer, if you weren't sold, you're not gonna be sold. It looks really good.
Maybe you just could, it feels different from that's a good the thing, other film, but eso.
I think it's gonna be really good, and it comes from obviously Sox from Lightyear. It's based on his parents' relationship, if I understood correctly, that they were very opposite.
Elemental also takes inspiration from like his parents immigrating to New York, all the culture clashing that happens in New York, especially like between the 40s and the 80s. So it's a little bit of that, which I think is going to be an interesting way to show, because people are saying it's a little bit too on the nose in terms of like races and whatever, like cultures. People need to chill. Sure, it is a clear metaphor. Congrats, you know how a metaphor works. Pero I think it's going to be a great way to just teach this to kids.
Now, this is also not Disney's only film coming out this year. You mentioned Wish, and it sounds really good from what you told us. And if I heard correctly, Chris Pine is singing again?
Chris Pine is the villain.
I love that for him.
Not the villain part, the singing part. The singing.
Please, you're going to justify his villain era. I'm sorry.
I will.
Somebody explain me the movie because I don't even know what it's about.
Okay. So, basicamente, Wish is an upcoming American animated musical film produced by Walt Disney Animation Studios. It is scheduled to be released on November 22nd, 2023. Se supone que se queda because Disney is pretty adamant strict when it comes to the release dates. It's written by freaking Jennifer Lee, o sea, like, escribió Frozen. We have Chris Pine, again, as the villain. It has Alan Tudyk. Ariana DeBose is voicing Asha, who is the protagonist. And it's just Julia Michaels. Julia Michaels is writing the music, and I love Julia Michaels, so this is going to be great.
This is very Josie-coded when you think about it.
Yeah.
See, like, this has a lot of elements that you would love.
Sí, también, like, it's a story of, again, la estrella de Disney, la do estrellita, like, the star to the right, etc., that appears in so many movies, like Peter Pan and Princess and the Frog, aka Evangeline.
Sounds like Disney has a really good year for animation. Yeah, at least that's the hope. Like,
you guys did this year, but we'll be back stronger next time.
And you would think that. You would think that, however, there's another challenger on the horizon. One that fans have been anticipating.
Yes.
And one that it's gotten a bigger fandom during the pandemic, thanks to Netflix, because a lot of people watched it on there. Not a lot of people showed up to see it in the theater when it was originally there. I know, because I didn't see many of you there. And this film we're obviously talking about, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Woo!
Let's go! Miles Morales is back, baby.
I saw the trailer in IMAX before John Wick, and I cried. It's so beautiful. And why does animated Oscar Isaac have to be so hot? Oh no, he's hot!
I loved the first film so much. It was such a great time. It was an amazing theater experience. And now that they're back with Avengers, now that we have this bigger fan support for this film, I really hope this does the business the first one should have done. I really hope this does very well in the summer. It's kind of a perfect summer blockbuster, perfect for everyone. So it's kind of no excuse. But what you're going to notice with the summer movie blockbuster season this year, there are a lot of big films coming out. So those premium format screens are going to be gone very quickly. So Across the Spider-Verse is something you got to see opening weekend if you want to get it in like the best theater. Of course, like you said, we got Oscar Isaac. We got Issa Rae. We have Daniel Kaluuya joining the cast. There are a lot of great possibilities
here. It's gonna be great.
And we all know, let's throw it out there. And Junio, it's brave. It's a really big swing. And I think they'll get it done.
For some reason, I thought it was coming out in the fall again. Y después otro día, ella me dijo, no, sale en Junio. Yo, I'm not ready. I'm excited.
We're not ready, but we also are so ready. Because let's be honest. Let's be honest, Gabriela, you're like, you and Josie are like the resident Oscar experts here, film poser experts. We know this is going for Best Animated Feature. There's no way this is missing.
Obviously. No, it's like some people would be like, I'm pretty sure some people are going to be like, oh, we won't get in again. It was a fluke that it won the first time, blah, blah. You know how people are. And I feel like
it's not
like
a fucking fluke.
No, but you know how people are.
Yeah.
So I think the animation looks just as good as the first one, and they pushed it back from the original release because they wanted to give their animators more time to work on it instead of overworking them. So I think they're putting a lot of care into this one as much as they did with the first one. It has a very big fan base. Again, it's Spider-Verse. It's a beloved IP. It's gonna do well.
Yeah.
100% agree. Agree with everything you said. It's gonna be really good. It's going to be the movie that shocks a lot of people because, I don't know, there's something about it. I just have this really good feeling that it's going to deliver. It's going to be one of those films where like, okay, the wait was worth it. I'm glad I'm on the hype train for Spider-Verse. And if you're not on the hype train for Spider-Verse, fix that. You have till June. You have till June to be on the right side of history. And for those who think it won't get in again, it's a fluke, let me throw up the best example. Incredibles 2 got nominated after the first one did. And I love The Incredibles. And that had a big fan base.
Toy Story 3 and Toy Story 4 both won the Oscar for Best Animated Picture. There's literally no excuse. Like, there's no excuse. None of that. There's no excuse.
There are literally past nominees and winners that can literally prove that it can do it. So I don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. But the Spider-Verse does have competition because apparently coming out very soon to its release date is a film Josie has been championing, will be championing, called Past Lives from A24.
Until the day I die. If I'm no longer championing it, I'm no longer here.
Why, Josie?
Listen, that film got me when I heard Stay by Rihanna. I was like, all right, I'm in. I don't care what this film's about. I'm going. And then I find out it's beautiful.
No right. They had no right. They had absolutely no right. I love that song. That is one of my favorite Rihanna songs. I was attacked. how dare they, especially with what happens in the film. Gabriela and I were able to see it last year at a test screening. We have been silenced
for
over a year because of a freaking NDA. Pero tú sabes qué, papi? El NDA ya no tiene poder. El NDA ya no tiene poder aquí. Tú sabes que esta película está bien buena. This is a great film. It is. I would have put it ahead of Portrait on my Letterboxd top four, but that I can't betray my ladies that way. But it's close. It's right there.
Because high praise.
If you feel things with Portrait, this movie, it awakens something in you that you didn't know it there. It's so human. It's so hurtful. But in the best way, it's what After Sun was for so many people last year. This movie is just gonna break you, but also give you hope on life and love.
Yeah. Okay, just by watching the trailer, it just feels like it. Damn, that's a good crying session.
Anna, bring tissues.
Oh, we will.
Nobody survived. In our test screening, everyone was sniffling while we were trying to rate the film, and almost everyone gave it 5. Because you have to fill out a little form, and you have to rate the film. You have to say, like, would you change something? And all of us were like, we would change nothing.
Is it safe to say it's going to be in your top films of 2023?
Yes.
It's my number one right now.
Is it going to do, like, what Scream did last year with me? It's going to just ride it all the way till the end?
Oh, yeah.
Come a fire of love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Like, right now, my top threes of this year, spoilers, Past Lives, Emily, which came out last year during festivals, but its official theatrical release was this year. People, if you haven't seen Emily, it has a hot priest. It's great. Watch it. Y pues mi tercero es John Wick 4. So it's been a good year.
Wow. Now, for those of you who have not heard of Past Lives, we recommend you watch the trailer. But just in case, so you know what it's about before you see it in theaters, because clearly we're going to be recommending this to you throughout the entire year. It's about Nora and Haesung, two deeply connected childhood friends who are wrest apart after Nora's family emigrates from South Korea. 20 years later, they are reunited for one fateful week as they confront the notions of love and destiny. That doesn't sound like a heartbreaking film. I don't know what it's gonna be.
The best part is that it doesn't tell you what it's about. It just gives you a hint, but you don't really know what the film is about until you watch it. And you experience it. Even the trailer, if you're a person who doesn't like watching trailers, honestly, the trailer doesn't give that much away. It just gives you an idea of what you're gonna be feeling throughout those hours.
While Josie will be championing Past Lives, I'm pretty sure Gabriela is gonna be championing this next film, directed by Martin Scorsese, called Killers of the Flower Moon, starring Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay.
Actually, it's Jesse Plemons.
Letterboxd says Leonardo DiCaprio, but I 100% agree with you. I'm not going to go against you. If you're
Jesse Plemons is the lead.
Letterboxd, get it correct.
Apparently, it is 4 hours long. I am seated. I don't care. I sat through The Irishman. I will watch anything Martin Scorsese does.
I still haven't seen The Irishman.
It's been what
4 years.
It's been 4 years, Juan.
If I take an hour per year, I will almost be able to finish it.
I'm right there with you. I don't think I'm going to be seeing this film.
I don't know.
I know I'm the only one of the posters that is going to watch it. Maybe Anna will watch it.
Honestly, I'm low-key dreading the 4 hours. I cannot even stand 3-hour movies.
Babes, you couldn't get through 2 hours.
No.
Man, I'm tired. I don't know how people do it. Like, do people not hydrate? I drink water.
Yeah, I need an intermission.
Throughout the entire, like, 3 hours, and I'm like, is your bladder okay? What's going on?
I saw The Irishman on theaters, and I was like, my back fucking hurts. I want to... Me quiero parar. And just leave.
Es que yo no entiendo. Mira, yo tengo 26. I'm not that old. I'm 26 years old, but I swear I've gotten to the point where I'm like, those damn long-ass films, I'll watch them at home.
Maybe somebody will do like the thing they did with The Irishman, that they like divided by episodes. With this
Yeah, like a mini series.
Yeah,
bring I'm back intermissions in the movie theater,
please. And oh my god,
en Italia lo hacen todavía. I remember we saw Tarzan in Italy, and there was an intermission. Bring them back,
please. We need those. We need those. I could have used that in Avatar: The Way of Water. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And it wasn't a bad film. I enjoyed it.
Times for Avatar.
Piacon carried that film, let's be honest.
He was the best supporting actor.
Yes.
The only reason I didn't get up in Avatar, there was a bet going on with people I went with, and I was not losing. I was not paying drinks. I'm sorry. I was not paying drinks. I was seated throughout. James Cameron, you have them to thank. But Gabriela's going to be the one sitting through all 4 hours of Killers of the Flower Moon.
But also, I can't believe you won't continue supporting the Renaissance. Because Brendan Fraser is in that movie.
But you know what? This is premiering at the end of May at the Cannes Film Festival. So all the first reactions are going to come out then for the film coming out eventually in October. I think I might have a festival run.
Hopefully they bring it to NIFF.
They should. NIFF if it's opening Cannes, it should be at NIFF. But... perfect segue. I'm sorry to cut down the Martin Scorsese. Sorry, Marty. But perfect segue. Dune Part 2 might be coming to NIFF.
Yes!
Sorry for the headphone users in that moment.
Yeah.
I did my waiting for Dune Part 1 and it was excruciating. And now Dune Part 2 is almost upon us.
Listen, as long as they bring me Zendaya this time around, I'll be happy.
Yeah, she'll be in it more.
She better be. I watched the first one for her.
As long as they're more than 20 minutes of Zendaya, I'm okay.
She was there 7 minutes, Anna. I clocked it. She was there longer in her L'Oreal commercial than she was in the film. What? She was, but if she's gonna come out here more often, I'm happy. I want to see Zendaya. I want to see Timothy Chalamet. Like you said, Josie, Austin Butler's in this new cast. Florence Pugh, Queen Florence Pugh. I'm sad. Okay, I'm sad. I won't complain this time around. Just to see those four, I'm sad. Anna, yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do, but we're gonna get you through this. For those of you who don't know, Anna almost fell asleep through Dune. In IMAX.
Okay, but speaking of Florence Pugh, a director she's collaborated with but actually gave her a breakout role is Ari Aster, and he has something coming out this year that I think might intrigue Anna.
Oh, it's definitely going to intrigue her.
I saw that trailer and I was like, this is completely different from what he has done.
It was wild.
It's weird.
I don't trust it because of that. Because I remember it started, and I think it was the moment where he's walking and it turns into animation around him, and I'm like, wait. And then after that, I was sold. But then, like, the promos that are releasing recently are kind of freaky, and I'm like, I'm scared. I don't know what to expect. I'm terrified.
It's like one of the movies that you don't even know what to expect.
Called Bo is Afraid, for those of you who do not know. It's called Bo is Afraid. It's directed by Ari Aster. I don't trust Ari Aster, so I'm out. Y'all will let me know if it's Hwang approved or not.
You know, I just love his originality. Mans is not afraid to make some weird shit, and I love that for him.
I still owe him a therapy bill, so no. Apparently this one is also 3 hours long.
I can sit through this one.
I can sit through three. I loved Babylon. I never sat up once. I think it's the four that I'm already like, come on.
Yeah.
Please. I'm down on my knees. Stop doing this.
Damn, Anna's going to be able to sit through a 3-hour film. I believe in you. You're so brave.
Primera tanda.
Eso mismo. You're not seeing it at night. You're not seeing it at night. You're seeing it the first show.
Exactly.
Oh my god. But onto a lighter note, if you're not interested in seeing Bo is Afraid, there's another film coming out about a month later in May, which, let's face it, it looks really good. It's called The Little Mermaid by Disney. Mira, I know it's tense.
La salvaron. No, la salvaron. Because at first, everything was looking so dark.
Yeah.
And then they added color to that recent trailer, and I'm like, oh my god, they heard us. Bullying works.
I mean, yeah, I will say. And Halle Bailey, she looks like she's doing an amazing job. The voice is perfect. She looks great. I'm excited to see what she delivers.
It looks cute. Yeah.
I'm not excited for the realistic fishes, which I know it's the ocean to set that up, but oh, come on. Sebastian the Crab has so much personality, and now he just looks soulless.
He looks like he's going to end up in Red Lobster in like a couple of minutes.
Poor baby.
He's going to end up on your lobster roll real quick. Like, it's done for him.
I'm freaking flounder looks like me every day during work hours. Just confused.
Little Mermaid could either be a big hit or a flop. We hope it's a big hit. There are going to be new songs by Lin-Manuel Miranda. This could be really good. We're hopeful. But you're right, Josie. I do think they saved it with the new trailer. I still see some negative reactions, but all.
Come on, the ocean can be colorful. Why the heck are you making it so dark and grainy?
Exactly. It's fantasy. Give us the fantasy.
Get out of here.
I'm sorry. It was right there. It was right there. I'm sorry. I had to. With that, we're going to move on.
Hosting duties are revoked. Listen, I'm still anticipating it. That trailer reinstated my hope.
Yeah.
I'm just excited to see it. Y ver qué es lo que nos dan.
With that, we're going to move on to our next pick. Is this a Wendy Williams film? Why is it called The Killer?
Because it's made by Daddy Fincher.
Ay, yo no sabía.
Thank you, Joe. Three thoughts going on at once. First of all, thank you, Josie, for getting my joke.
De nada.
Thank you. The Leos stay strong.
Let me whip out that letterbox for a moment.
There she is.
She's about to put it on her watch list.
I put it because I hadn't heard Anna talking about it, and I'm like, I need Anna to be aware of what's coming.
Yeah.
Apparently, okay, this is going to Netflix.
Hello, this is Josie from the future while I'm editing this episode, and this episode is actually going on a little bit long, so I'm actually dividing it into two parts. So if you're listening to this and you're like, what the heck just happened? It just ended. What the heck? Yeah, we're just go over to part two.